Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Saturday. Happy 420. Happy 6:09 p.m. I don't know. I don't know how happy you are if you were sitting out there through, you know, the spring showcase. Those things tend to be a little boring in person. They tend to be a little boring to watch on TV. But it's great to have Florida State back on the television or back in Duke Campbell Stadium, and to be able to enjoy that, because I guess we've got about 4 months until we get to see it again. It's been a month, about 2 months or so since we saw them last. And the last taste in all of our mouths was the screw job. So it's nice to, see them out there, see what the team's going to, what they kind of got going on, what they're going to look like potentially, and get a sense of just where things are at this flagpole of the off season. So I think there's going to be some hot takes that come away from this spring showcase. I'm not going to call it a game because it certainly wasn't a game. In the Mike Norvell era, it has never been a game. So we'll refer to it as a showcase. They refer to it as a showcase because Mike wants to treat it as a practice. He wants to use it as one of his days to go out there and do all aspects of a practice and get that work in. So I want to start with thanking everybody for jumping in here. We're right up at 155 people, 160 people. Please be sure to hit the like button. This will be dropping on the Knowles 24/7 on the Bench podcast feed. So you can find that. It'll be up a little later tonight if you're driving home and you only get bits and pieces of this and you want to listen to the rest of it. Be sure to get over to Knowles 24/7. There'll be a boatload of post showcase coverage, recruiting coverage, all that hoopla. But it's the good stuff. We're all the fanatics. We're all in here because we're fanatical about this program and, that's the lifeblood. So be sure to get over, check out what Zach's got, Dane, Clay, Brendan, Chris. I'm sure they're going to have a ton of great stuff. Just a bit of housekeeping. We will be doing the film review Tuesday. So look for that upcoming. That will be out on the X's and O's YouTube channel. So be sure to check that out. Give that a like. If you're not subscribed, get subscribed there. Obviously, we've got the Noti Gang in the building here, 240 people. So Trey's in Chicago or some madness at a Cubs game. He'll be back with us on Tuesday for that. All right, Kev, let's get into it. Yeah. You didn't text a whole lot. You were there. I was watching it on TV with a six-year-old and a four-year-old running around like madmen because 4 o'clock's are not great times in the Brown household. But let's give me your thoughts. What did you think?
Yeah, I guess we can go position by position. So let's start with quarterback. I think that's a natural place to go. And then we'll kind of give our overarching thoughts on the units as a whole now after we process kind of individual stuff. So start with DJ. I thought he looked like DJ. We've seen this kid play 4 years of college football. He's been around. He's the kind of guy where he's going to make a throw or two a game where you're just like, dang, I don't think there's too many people in college football that can make that throw. And then he's going to make a couple throws like the one on the sprint out to where he just kind of missed a wide open guy. He just kind of dirted a throw. He made up for it with the next throw, but you know, he's just that kind of guy where I think you're going to get the occasional inconsistent throws, but he's got such good arm strength. I thought that it did a good job of kind of stretching the ball down the field for him and kind of getting him on these play actions, these kind of longer crossers, like we talked about.
Yep.
And that's what you're going to do. I think you're going to get 50% completion out of him, 50 to 60% completion out of him, regardless if you're throwing it 5 to 10 yards or 15 to 30 yards. So you might as well throw it 15 to 30 yards.
Yeah. Clearly I think the biggest thing that people are going to take away from this or discuss about this, is the wide receiver position. We were discussing it a little bit beforehand when we were talking to each other about remembering that it is a practice and there should be no grand takeaways, but grand takeaways are going to come. Hot takes are going to fly after this. I'm sure they're all over Twitter, just bashing away. So, and the Miami fans are going to be writing up little posts on their boards talking about just like you did. So
yeah, that'd be great.
The wide receiver position, there were some drops, and there's been drops throughout spring. We knew that this was a problem. Brendan has certainly highlighted it in his post-practice write-ups that he's done, and I know other places have as well. Malik Benson looked like the only guy that could line up and play wide receiver for you.
Ja'Kai Douglas looked okay.
Yeah, they didn't use him necessarily. And we know that LT and Jalen Lucas are guys that they see as like wide receiver slash running back. So those are guys that are going to get involved. But Kentron makes one back shoulder throw one back shoulder catch that, I mean, that's what he's always been able to do. But other than that, I just didn't see a whole lot. Darian Williamson, he put a couple on the ground. There looked to me like some guys that don't know how to handle the velocity of the ball that's coming out of DJ's hands. I don't ever remember Darion Williamson having trouble dropping the ball in the past, and now all of a sudden it is. I think that there's some correlation there. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, it's a different ball. It's a different velocity. It's a different arm angle coming at you.
There's a different spin. There's a different spin on the ball. There's a lot going on there for that relationship. Passer to pass catcher that they clearly need to iron out. I think right now it would behoove them to go get one. I wouldn't be mad at them if they went and got two. It looks like a clear weakness right now.
I think you needed Benson. You need Benson to be the guy, and he looked like a little bit of the guy. Right, he's got the speed. He's a good route runner. He goes down with an injury. We don't know what that is.
It looked like an ankle.
Destin Hill was poised to kind of have a season this year. We're obviously not seeing him.
Yeah.
It didn't look like people were getting open, and the defense wasn't doing anything particularly interesting. They were a lot of like man crazy. Coverage. They were being very aggressive. There were several plays that could have been pass interferences that weren't called, so advantage defense. So we got to take that into account. Yeah. But I think the natural question is what DB brings up here. Where is Hakeem? Where this 5-star guy? Where is he at? What's going on with him? Why is he not standing out in this field of receivers that seems like there's room for him to stand out?
Yeah. And for those that maybe don't know, we're talking about 5-star wide receiver Hakeem Williams, who is a true sophomore this year. He lost a lot of time at the end of the year, second half of the year, after that Duke game when he got hurt. And he was in and out kind of getting up to speed before that. He looks like $1 million running around out there. It didn't seem like there was a lot of opportunities to play him today. He had one He had one 50-50 ball go his way that I'm just thinking of off the top of my head. And we'll cover this a lot more in the film review, but one 50-50 ball that was not even close, but he wasn't open. DB brings up Jericho Cotcher, who's a friend of his, talking about Cam Newton, how hard he threw the ball. It's an issue, and you can tell there's some guys that were fighting it. I thought the one slant to, was it Darion? It looked like, it just looked like he dropped it because he couldn't handle it more than anything. We know that JT threw a catchable ball. JT threw a very soft catchable ball. He could velo it when he needed to, but he's not coming close to what DJ can do. But on Hakeem, I mean, look, he's got 4 months to get himself going here. And it sounds like, I was listening to Ingram on the Nolcast. Shout out to Bud and Ingram for all the work that they do. And obviously Ingram with the Battle's End. He was talking about, you know, there's some plans for Hakeem for this offseason, going out and working with some different people in Tallahassee and then away from Tallahassee. So it seems like there is a plan for him for the remainder of the offseason. And obviously he's got to go capitalize on that. There's a spot there for him. He's a physical freak. I think you can game plan him. We know how athletic he is. We'll see.
I think to be fair to all the receivers today, the defense clearly knows the tells on the screens.
Yeah.
So they were blowing those screens up. That's a good opportunity. I mean, you saw it with Hakeem last year where he's an athletic guy. He's someone you want to get the ball in the hands of. Jaylen Brown, that's another guy who might be a menace on screens. Darren Williamson a couple of years ago, Boston College, had like 200 yards on screens. So like they were taking away something that a normal team isn't going to be able to cheat on that like that.
It was all press man coverage and you weren't running any man beaters out there. I mean,
yeah, they had like one switch play they were kind of doing with like a little post and a wheel behind it. And
they hit, was it Benson? I think on that one, it was a little under slant or a little whip that worked its way in more than anything. You couldn't see. The camera angle was terrible.
Yeah.
That went for good yardage. There wasn't, I mean, you didn't see any mesh or anything like that where you were working things to try to run some rubs and picks to try to get guys open. And I hate to break it to a lot of people, and there's going to be a lot of hot takes and a lot of venom fired at the wide receiver core, and we'll do our fair share of that. This may be the best defensive back group nationally.
Yeah.
At least in the ACC.
Top five.
The best you're going to see in the ACC this year. You've got to remember that when you're evaluating dudes, because a lot of people are going to have trouble getting open against AZ and Fentrell and are a little – those. Let's just transition to that. Those dudes look like absolute monsters.
They do. And they were allowed to get a little handsier. Like there was one play done by Kai Bates that was a pass breakup where he just straight grabbed the dude's hips. But no, they're long, they're athletic, they move well.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got like a couple of guys that are borderline five-star freshmen who are like third string corners for you right now.
Right. We'll see whether he's going to stay. I know Brendan, I think, put out some tea that Edwin Joseph was a guy that maybe there's been some frustration and potentially like a portal guy, I believe.
But the guys we have, there's plenty of
Edwin Joseph is like, he's like third string and he looks like a freaking animal out there, like an absolute demon. So, and there is depth, there is numbers, and there is athleticism just pouring out of that room right now. Guys that can just get up in your face and be physical and be and shut a wide receiver group down. I like Grant's comment there. I'll put it back up for those who are listening on the podcast side of this. Grant Islin, I hope I said your last name right, said, "I'm glad we went vertical instead of stat padding check downs like the boys down south." That always jumps out to me. I saw Arch Manning's numbers got posted or something like that. It was like 90% or 85% completion percentage and like 345 yards. Like, all right. I want to watch it. I mean, we watched the Miami one, and not to talk Miami, like, I don't think Cam Ward completed a ball past 10, 12 yards. So And I'm sure there was some, and I'm not remembering it. I'll get called out for that, and that's okay. But 90% of those completions were like 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. So,
but you're also showing off, you're trying to show off who you are. And mm-hmm. I mean, Cam Ward's going to be a guy, Miami, because of how they're built, they're going to be a team that completes short passes. They're going to have to be a success rate focused team. That's who he is. Yeah. DJ's the opposite. He's someone who's going to have to push the ball downfield. If you're going to want to be successful, look at Oregon State. I'm going to do breakdowns of Oregon State's offense from last year throughout the summer. They're a team that found success with him by pushing the ball downfield, and that's what FSU did. And I think you were hoping that Malik Benson, Jaylen Brown are these guys that get open downfield.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think FSU's defense is built to take that away.
I agree with that. I don't think you're putting them on display in this game like you will be able to when you're starting to scheme things open during an actual game.
You're
only hoping to hit two or three of those in an actual game. And you're going to get a hell of a lot more chances at it. So Jonathan asks, is it normal for wide receivers? I did want to touch on that. Malik got hurt because he was pussyfooting around, frankly. I think he would probably agree with that. And I think the coaches will say that he kind of got stuck and he wasn't sure whether to go block or not block. And he got rolled up on. If he would have been aggressive and would have been challenging the DB, I believe it was that was in front of him instead of catching, I think he drives that out of there and probably doesn't end up getting hurt. So unfortunate. We'll see how severe it is. I know the cart came out, but he was kind of walking around on it, which would maybe lean to not being a break. I would, if I had to guess, and I'm not going to guess, but I will guess, it's probably some sort of like high ankle just from what it looked like on TV. But they'll get a look at it. You got 4 months to get him healthy. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, but to not belabor the wide receiver point, I think that we don't want to take too much. I think the DB's got a lot of ground. They're very good. That's a very good corner room. But I think we can all agree that that might be the most pressing need, getting a number one receiver that can just win one-on-ones, you know?
Yeah. And you're probably not going to find that. But you better find somebody that can go get open a little bit. I think that is a need. If you had to put a grade on DJ's day, what would it be?
B. I'd probably say somewhere in that range, B plus. You know, I think that there were things that you would fix and you want to fix, but I think at a certain point he is what he is. You want to limit the kind of mistakes that he might make, limit turnovers, like Oregon State did a really good job of doing last year. He didn't throw a pick, did he?
No, he had one that should have gotten picked and got dropped. Stream keeps lagging. I don't know why.
Would you agree with that sentiment?
I think so. He regressed. I think he reverts back to some bad habits. Feet go dead a little bit, and he doesn't work through his progressions all the time. When he does, it looks really good. Obviously, the ability to throw the ball at any point of the field is incredible. And he does that as good as anybody. I thought he handled the pocket pretty well. There were some times there was some collapsing pressure in his face, but I thought he did pretty good handling that and standing there and being poised in a day where he wasn't really allowed to run at all.
Yeah.
And you were obviously weren't going to use his threat of running. King said easy dropped on an easy pick. I didn't think it was easy, but he did drop it. He probably should have had it. Mm-hmm. DJ, he had that one. It looked like slow mesh, but it wasn't. They had the RPO out the other side. The touchdown to, I believe it was Roydell, really stood in there and stayed in with the ride. And they got the long touchdown run off of. It felt like watching Oregon State, but from shotgun, not necessarily under center today. It was really decisive. It was crossing routes, you know, deep crossers, that kind of stuff that was developing. That's going to take some time for the, and we're going to transition here, the offensive line stuff. That's going to take some time for the offensive line to hold up against the pass rush. You were throwing some hot fire at Jeremiah Byers. I know you're not the only one. Again, I want to go back and rewatch him.
Yeah, we need to.
I spent a lot of my time watching DJ today, in fairness.
So before we get too far off that topic, all right. I do have some like rudimentary data. You can't take this for too much, but on the season, on run plays, Florida State last year averaged about 34% counter and 20% outside zone.
I think they ran one counter run today.
They ran several. Yeah. So the percentages were flipped. So we're looking at 33% outside zone and closer to 27% counter. Mm-hmm. So it's not a concrete number and it's a very small sample size, but I think our eyes saw it, right? They were running a lot more outside zone, running a lot more inside zone. I mean, the inside zone doubled what they normally do. Slash duo, you know. So I think you saw that they're going to be a little bit more of a zone team, and what that does by doing those outside zone is, you know, faking outside zone and going on a boot, that naturally buys you more time as a quarterback. Yeah. You don't have to pass set as an offensive lineman, and so like it buys times for those receivers to get out in the field and for DJ to show off his arm. And yeah, I think visually we were able to see that. There's some stats to kind of back that up, but we won't really see until kind of the season starts, obviously.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, they did some of the RPO, they did some of the triple option stuff that we've seen from Mike in the past. Like, the offense isn't going to change. They're going to do the things that Mike believes in and what are his bread and butter, but they're going to tailor them the best they can to. There's the Hurricane fans. Oh boy, there they are.
Don't let them trigger you.
Showing up loud and proud. So I thought DJ played well for the most part. I thought they put him in positions to show his arm talent off. Unfortunately, some wide receivers put the ball on the ground and they've got to do a better job of that. That's something they've got to get fixed. So yeah, transitioning the offensive line. I thought it was a mixed bag early. Like, look, I'm going to wear this one because I wasn't sure. And I'm not alone in this. The Marvin Jones, like, I didn't know what to expect. Like, I was excited that they got him. I was trying to temper.
You're jumping to Marvin Jones.
Well, I am, because I mean, the first three plays, he looked like a freaking monster.
He looks like a monster.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He looks athletic. He moves well in space. He almost got that pick. They did a little.
Yeah, that fire zone was, that was hot fire.
Yeah, where he dropped Adam in Ford, space underneath that.
Adam Ford running fire zones in a scrim, in a spring scrimmage, or
and he looked showcase. Good dropping
yeah,
in space.
I wish he, yeah. Yeah, I wish he would. If he'd have picked that, it was going to, it was going to get housed, and that would have been fun. So now you got me all off track thinking about Marvin picking that thing and taking it to the house. All right, so the offensive line, like. I thought Byers had some weak moments today, which were what he had last year.
Yeah.
But I also thought there were times where he was fine. And again, I wonder, the offensive line is one you always got to rewatch before you can make any like grand statements.
Yeah, definitely.
Moe's Moe. Yeah, you didn't get Ferguson and Leonard together a whole lot. And I know, I don't think Richie. I saw Richie with ice on his shoulder, so I'm not sure what the deal is there. Darius is an all-conference left tackle. He's a good football player that you're going to be relying on. Like, I don't think you saw what this offensive line is going to look like come fall time when they're game planning and doing the things that they know that they do best. Watching them today, I think we maybe are going to see more counter than what we originally have thought. There's athleticism there, but there's some freaking people movers. There's some dudes that got size, and size to me tends to think gap schemes. And
well, they broke one or two off duo, you know, essentially inside zone, where, you know, there's that one touchdown. I think it was Roydell. We're essentially one of the linebackers filled the wrong gap, but
yeah, Omar Graham,
because your offensive line is moving, is displacing the defensive tackles, that muddies reads for linebackers. You're going to see more and more of that. You force their hands. Counter inside zone. I think that's what you have to do. You have to be able to run the football.
Yeah.
With how you're trying to set up DJ to hit these shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a fairly decent job running the ball.
Yeah. I mean, LT had an early touchdown. Sean Murphy just whiffed in space. He gave him a little dead leg and ran away from him. I thought Roydell looked really good. LT and Roydell looked like a dynamite duo there.
Then Kaziah as a third down back kind of situation.
Yeah. They put the ball on the ground a couple times, which is something I expect them to get worked out. I don't think that'll be an issue, but and then Jalen Lucas is like a change of pace, you know, just shot out of a cannon,
they used him as a running back today.
They did, and I think they're going to, but I just think you're going to see him start to move around as you get into game plans and they try to start finding matchups, because that's what Mike does. That backfield looks exciting. I'm encouraged by what you see there. And I think it's going to be a strength for your offense, and it's going to need to be. But I was really pleased with what I saw out of Roydell. He looks like a guy that I think you go out there and give 25 carries to and be happy with the production you're going to get. He did a nice job in on the inside, jump cuts, reading, making guys miss in a phone booth, and then coming out the other side and making plays. So that was exciting. I'm seeing some folks talk about the tight end room. We'll see.
We saw some flashes out of Jackson West that he can provide you something.
Yeah, but he fights the hell out of the ball. Like, none of those catches were clean.
Yeah, I mean, I he's not going to be Brock Bowers, but I think he's going to give you snaps. He's going to be adequate. Didn't see much out of Morlock today.
No.
So we're rounding out the offense. Is this offense worse or better than last year based off this game?
From Glee Boy.
What?
From Glee Boy.
Glee Boy.
It's going to be on audio too.
What's your answer?
It's worse. Yep. It's worse at this point. It's worse solely because of the wide receiver room. And you didn't get any better at tight end. Kyle Morlock doesn't look any different to me than he did to finish last year. And that's a little frustrating because I think you were banking on him taking a step. And, you know, it can happen in the next 4 months. But I didn't see anything today that said to me, oh, this is a player. And I want to watch him again blocking and that kind of stuff. But it just never jumped off the screen to me. Jackson is Jackson. We've always been high on him. I mean, we were high on him when he came out of high school. I certainly was. And I think he's a guy that's going to get in there and give you some tough blocks. I think there was one. I think people are going to be like, oh, he hung DJ out to dry. Looked like Blake Nicholson knew the play and kind of cheated on it. So, but I think Jackson's tough. I mean, he's going to block. He's going to fight for every inch that he needs. But again, I don't think there's a dynamic element there. We didn't get to see a ton of Landon Thomas being a playmaker. Brian Courtney just kind of is what he is. He's a good athlete, but you can't put his hand in the dirt and ask him to block in the box. I don't think you're going to play a ton of 12 this year from what it looks like.
They played the occasional 12, but yeah. Okay, so
I would go get a tight end. I think it's holding you back slightly right now, but I mean, it's way behind what's holding you back a wide receiver. So for me, it's worse. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's worse just in the sense that I think you got to see a little bit today. People took JT for granted, I think, are currently taking JT for granted, essentially. Yeah. He was pretty darn good on third downs even last year. He was a guy where if you got into obvious passing situations in the past 2 years, he could get you out of them more often than not. Mm-hmm. I don't think DJ's that guy. I don't think DJ's that the kind of guy you want to be back there necessarily on a third and long. Right. He's the kind of guy where if you can get ahead of the chains on first and second down, you can have a successful run game. He can hit you some shot plays and win you a lot of games. But against good football teams, against good defenses, you might run into situations like you saw today where they weren't having a lot of success running the football. They had some explosives, but mm-hmm. you know, there were quite a few second and third and longs where you had to go to more of a traditional drop back passing game. And, you know, I don't think that's his strength. No. But I think he's going to be someone like, I don't think this is a bad offense. I think mm-hmm. that you're missing the kind of the star power of Jordan Travis and, you know, Keon Coleman hitting mm-hmm. those plays and being people that can win one-on-ones when you needed them.
Yeah, and I think we've said from the get-go that, like, you were never replacing those guys, but what you hoping that you lost and their star power you are making up with in your run game coming back to you.
Needs to.
The run game was a disappointment last year, and you're hoping that you can get back to, the 22 level of running game at the least, and it opens up your explosive nature yep. when you're passing game. So let's transition to defense. Let's talk defensive line. Let's pick up the pace a little bit because we're 30 minutes. So defensive line, all in all, the ends look good. I thought Sione got driven down inside a few times, but they moved him all over the place. Tomiwa was pretty much all three tech the whole game.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking. He's going to be a different tackle.
Yeah, and we've known that, but it's, you know, we try to not to put that kind of stuff out there too much. But so he's been at three tech. I still would go get another end, in my opinion, and I'd go get another defensive tackle because, Clay DM'd me last night and was like, yeah, I know we hyped up Grady Kelly. It's come back to earth a little bit.
Yeah.
He flashed a little bit, but. He's a guy that I think you're going to rely on for 250, 350 snaps and not a whole lot more than that.
He's your Malcolm Ray this year.
Yeah. They're not going to be elite snaps. They're going to just be good, solid snaps. So, but you might have the best DN tandem, in the conference. And maybe I'm not thinking of somebody, but Peyton and Jones Jr. They look menacing.
They look pretty darn good.
They play explosive. They play fast. They just cut it loose every snap. We'll see what that turns into, but I'm really encouraged. I said we'll see old Marvin Jones Jr. You know, I had heard some negative things through Torah Nudy in the beginning of camp. Clearly a light came on though. And that sucker looks good. I mean, he looks like what you were thinking you were going to get out of him coming out of high school. And Georgia misused him. And I'm glad he's here because he looks like he's going to be another in the long line of John Papuchis.
He's an elite athlete.
Yeah, he is. He really
that is. Size and speed does not come by
and length,
very often.
And length too. I mean, it's just, yeah.
So one thing that I think is interesting is that everybody harps on more and more defensive tackles. What I saw was, I thought, you know, Darryl Jackson looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to watch Tommy Wall too much, so I'll be curious to see if you can get anything out of him at defensive tackle in the near future.
Yep.
Daniel Lyons stood out a couple of times. His length is disruptive. You didn't have Josh Farmer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, in theory, you have four guys there that could give you some reps.
KJ Sampson.
He
made some plays. Good. Daniel Lyons flashed a couple times, but you need more there.
Right. You would like more there, but I'm not, like, to me, a wide receiver is a bigger need. Mm-hmm. But
I agree.
But I get it. I get you can never have too many defensive tackles. And last year, you had a pretty elite defense because you could rotate so many defensive tackles.
Correct.
So I'm not as worried about the defensive. I mean, the defensive line won today. So, you know, they looked good.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the linebackers.
Oh, man. God. Omar Graham was out of position too many times.
Couple times, yeah.
Would have liked to have seen Sean Murphy make that tackle in the open in space. Justin Cryer is what he is. I think there's some limited athleticism there, but sucker flies around. He puts his head on the ball. Blake Nicholson flashed, which is encouraging. He's been flashing more and more as camps go along here. I thought DJ looked really good. I thought DJ played really well. And again, we'll have to go back and watch. I'm sure we'll find some times where he's out of position, but. I was very happy with what I saw out of him. He looked athletic today.
Yeah.
He looked the most athletic that we've seen out of him. He looks like, in my opinion, an upgrade on Tatum Bethune. So we'll see whether that holds true, whether he plays up to that level come fall time. I'm going to say they can play better when the guys in front of them play better. Yeah. So the better you are on that front four, the better those two at that position are going to be. So, again, I think that's another reason for you to go out and get some more players there that you can count on to give you high-quality reps and snaps and to keep them clean. Do you have any different thoughts on linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that Sean Murphy looked the part, but, I mean, to be honest, the whiff on the – was it the LT touchdown?
Yeah.
Is standing out in my mind in a way that might not be fair for his overall performance. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to go back and watch that. DJ, looked good. You have a room full of guys with potential, but again, this is kind of what we're saying. We don't know. Right. You're hoping one of those, you know, three or four guys will step up and be serviceable for you. Cause you see, they don't really rotate that many linebackers. Mm-hmm. They didn't last year.
No.
So you just need one guy, that's going to be the dude there opposite DJ. And I don't know, I'm kind of cautious to say anything about Sean Murphy or, you know.
Yeah. I want to watch him. I don't pay that much attention to him in game, if I'm being completely honest.
Right. So the one bad play kind of stands out in my mind, and it's the same with Omar Graham. There's one bad play,
mm-hmm.
and that happens. So, We'll have to do the film review. That's why we do it. Okay, so we talked about the corners already. Looks good. Looks
quick safety thoughts.
Safety thoughts.
I didn't watch them at all. I can't see them on TV. So
I think they're. I don't feel confident about the safety room, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I mean, we know what we get. We're getting with Shaheem Brown. we know that, you know, he's what he is. He's a rangy dude. Mm-hmm. He can be physical.
Yeah.
But I think
he's a good player.
He's a good player. He's a decent coverage safety. Conrad Hussey is the guy that I think most people expect to be next to him day one? Conrad Hussey, you saw a lot of the same problems you saw at the end of last year. So he's very athletic. He's very quick. He can be in the right place when he knows where he's going. I think he's fine in coverage.
Yeah, he's good in coverage. He'll get out of position, but
he's very hesitant to fill run lanes, is what I saw.
Which there is crazy because everybody remembers him for that play where he blew that dude up on the, I think it was on a screen.
But it was a screen against Virginia Tech, but there was a couple plays, and we'll see him in the film review, where like everybody correctly spilled, which made the running back bounce the ball outside.
Yeah.
And you're hoping a safety's there, tackle within 2 to 3 yards. We're playing second and seven.
Mm-hmm.
He was catching guys at like 8-9 yards. Yeah. And he wasn't alone in that. KJ Kirkland was also catching guys like,
yeah,
outside of Shaheem. If it bounced the other direction, you were seeing, you know, late reactions coming right down. There's no one standing out as that number two guy.
I thought Devontae Brown was in position a few times. I'm curious to watch. I'm just curious to see that position. Watch it a little bit closer on film review. Maybe run it back a couple times and see if we can see what they're doing and get a better sense of what's going on there. It feels like a potential problem, but you also don't know like how much they're talking to them on the sideline. Like, hey, just stay deep right now, but nothing gets behind you. Be slow filling on the run. Like when you start game planning, things change quickly. But I would tend to agree with the little bit that I paid any attention to them today, that second safety next to Shaheem Brown is a question mark right now. It's been a question mark. It still may remain one. Yeah. I don't think that's anything crazy. All right. We've got a couple questions I want to get to before we get out of here. We've got 1500 people in this live between Twitter and YouTube. Please be sure to like the video for us if you can. If you're not subbed to the channels, get subbed to the channels. The first one, from Grillmaster. He just asks, how does this spring game compare to last year's? He thought it felt pretty similar. I don't know. I mean, I thought this team looked more physical. I think this team looks more physical and more explosive than last year. I just don't think it looks better. But I think that there's time for it to get to last year's group. So I think they look more, I think they look faster, more explosive. I think they look more physical. They just don't look as deep to me.
Yeah.
Especially that front line on the defense just doesn't look as deep and as talented as it did last year. And offensively, it's like, it's tough to say because you just got so many damn new pieces moving around out there. And guys that they've got 14 practices together. Obviously there's some other work that gets done on the side, but they've got 14 opportunities to get together. And today was the 14th to get together and work together. It's hard to put it all together in that kind of time frame. So the next 4 months are going to be crucial to their success. How does this spring game feel in comparison to last? Worse, but it's TBD on whether it will be worse or not.
Yeah, I think I said in the spring game preview essentially that last year you had a finely oiled machine on offense. You had Jordan Travis going into like his second, third year starting. You kind of had a lot of similar parts on the offensive line. You were just slotting in some wide receivers for explosives, and it was smooth, and like that they were working on fall install in the spring. You know, they were ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
This time you see kind of typical stuff with spring games where things are a little disjointed. Like jet sweeps, there was false starts because like the timing's not there. You weren't working with your number two quarterback who'd been getting most of the reps all spring. So yeah, it wasn't pretty compared to last year, but there's a lot of positives. I think, you know, we were going into this saying you might be in trouble because you don't have a pass rush. Well, I don't worry about that anymore. Marvin Jones Jr. looks like he can be the guy, you know.
Check that box.
How is Roydell going to look when he's, you know, behind this offensive line? He looked good. He looked patient. He found some holes. He's going to be someone who can grind you out games.
He looks like a better Trayshon Ward.
Right. I think there's optimism here, but I think we can also come down to earth on DJ being a guy that's going to win a Heisman necessarily. He's a guy that your offense is going to have to grind people down. You're going to have to be a physical team. You're going to have to lean on this defense, and hopefully things work out. But I thought the offense looked a little bit less crisp, but I think the defense is in a better place right now than it was in spring game last year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially at corner. I mean, even last year at corner, there was question marks. Like, nobody knew Jerrion was going to have the year that he had. Like,
yeah,
that was a big question mark. Nickel for us last year was like the question mark about the defense. Like, what was it going to become? I hope I'm wrong.
I hope this offense just balls out, you know, like that.
Balls out. It's not going to look the same. So balls out for the 2024 version is going to look different than what it did for the 2023 version. People maybe are going to forget how bogged down this offense got at times last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know if you're going to get that out of this group. Maybe DJ's going to miss a throw on a third down and you're not going to keep the chains moving like Jordan was able to. But I think you're going to hit some shot plays that you just aren't seeing yet because you're not setting that stuff up. So it doesn't look like there's a lot of other stuff in the chat. People, I guess, weren't being nitpicky. I thought we were pretty fair, pretty balanced overall.
That's the point of overanalyzing a spring game if we're not going to nitpick everything, you know?
Damn instant reaction. What the hell you want from us? I think we're going to call it there at 43 minutes, though. 1,600 people in here with us. Please be sure, again, to drop a like, drop a sub to the Knowles 24/7 and the X's and Knowles YouTube channels. Leave some comments in there because we always try to get back to people when they comment. It just helps us with the algorithm and getting this content out to people. We will be over on the Knowles 24/7 message boards. I know I'll be probably carrying the shield against Miami haters this over the next couple of days on Twitter. So
don't give them free space in your head, AB.
No, those idiots can never get in my head. So we will see you guys out there. We appreciate you stopping in with us tonight after the spring showcase. And if you are listening on the pod side, thank you very much. Leave a 5-star review if you can. And we will see you next time we get together.
Go Knowles.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.